Welcome to the People of Relic Nikkei podcast, where you're going to hear the stories of the people that work at these two amazing advertising agencies. Relic focuses on tourism, and EKR works with a variety of businesses to help people get the right message to the right people at the right time. And we have amazing people in our organization, and I am going to interview them to hear the unique stories and backgrounds that they have to help you better get to know the people of Relic and EKR. Christina Ainge, thanks for joining me on the People of Relic and EKR podcast. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Of course. I'm excited to get to know you a little bit better. Of course, you and I have spent a little bit of time together at various trips and client meetings already, but we'll get to record some of it this time.
That'll be fun. We'll get it ready for everybody.
For sure. Why don't we just start out? Tell us what you do at Relic and EKR.
I am the Public Relations and Content Director.
Great. And on the Relic side, right?
Yes, on the Relic side.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what that entails, what your role is, and some of the projects you're working on. But before we do, I want you to tell me your story. What was your childhood like? And let's talk about the journey that eventually led you here.
All right. Childhood feels like such a long time ago. I grew up here in Utah, West Jordan for the most of it. We did move out of state for about 9 or 10 months, but for the most part, born and raised in Utah. I am your standard first daughter, type A personality. So definitely was in a hurry to grow up and be in charge. So I think they called me little mother all the time. And then in high school, I never really went to high school. I wanted to be done.
Oh, interesting.
I struggle with telling lies, and I'm a very honest person. And so I would drive to the school so that when my dad would ask me if I went to school that day, I would tell him yes.
Okay, hold on a
second. But I didn't actually go inside the school.
You just said something very, very interesting, Christina. So you said you don't like to tell lies. So when your dad would ask you if you went to school, you would drive there so you could say yes and then leave.
Yep. Eventually he figured out and had to ask, did you go into the building today? But I did not want to tell a lie, but I look back now and I was in a hurry to grow up, and it's something I would have done a little bit differently. I did graduate early from high school, and then I did work release my junior year. So I left to work. Started doing retail management as soon as I could turn, as soon as I was 16, started in the retail world. I think I've always, since as soon as I could work, I've always worked multiple jobs, kind of balanced multiple schedules, doing different things, whether it was retail. I managed an ice skating rink at 17 and then became like a full store manager at this store called Vanity when I was 18, kind of managing 18-year-old managing 16-year-olds, payroll and schedules and kind of training and managing people that were basically my peers, but just kind of always in a hurry to grow up.
You were little mother.
Yeah, pretty much. And now here I am.
So, Christina, I think we covered a lot of years in a very short period of time, right? So I'm going to ask you a couple of additional questions there. So first of all, you said you left West Jordan for 9 or 10 months and then came back. Where was the place that you moved to and why?
We moved to Kingston, Washington, which is a small town. And I was in third and fourth grade at the time. And it's like the peninsula. You have to take a ferry to get there. There's no other way to get there. Just off of where Edmonton was. And so we lived there just for a short amount of time. And then came back to Utah. We went there for my dad's work. He works in like government computers. And so he went to go do a project there. And then we came back to Utah.
So that's an interesting statement. Your dad works for government computers. Are you the daughter of a CIA agent or an FBI agent?
This is being recorded. This is a conversation we can't have unrecorded. No, we always joked as kids growing up that, you know, my dad was gone. He was traveling. He was a cameraman for a while, and he had a surveillance truck. He would come in his news truck. And then after a while, he started working for computers for the government. And so it's just always an ongoing joke, but we cannot confirm or deny what his career really was.
So as a childhood operative, do you feel like that had a lot to do with you growing up so fast?
Possibly. That definitely could be it.
No, I thought that was another interesting comment that you made, though, is that you kind of always, as the oldest, wanted to grow up really quickly. I've got a 12-year-old right now, and she's a girl, and it's the same thing, right? Like, she wants more. She wants to feel old. She wants to be involved in the adult conversations, no matter how much we don't want her to be involved in the adult conversations. And so I'm curious, kind of, what was that like in your childhood as you're pushing to grow up? Your parents are kind of pushing you to stay a little bit younger for a little bit longer. What was that dynamic like?
You know, I have some pretty amazing parents, and my grandmother is actually an author. She published several books called Positive Discipline. And so she publishes all these parenting books. And so I got pretty lucky in the parenting aspects, is that my parents were well educated in, you know, positive discipline and positive parenting. So they were very understanding and kind of letting me explore those and explore those natural consequences of my actions. And I think now, looking back at my life, I learned a lot, and I learned some things the hard way. And I don't know if there's anything I would change when it came to growing up as fast as I did, but they definitely gave me the space and support that I did need to kind of pave my own way into the world.
Yeah. What were your hobbies?
Sports and shopping. And eating, kind of the same things they are now. We were a volleyball family. I did competitive club volleyball. I started when I was 9. I was in the Junior Olympics when I was 12. And then I had to have knee surgery at 15, and kind of that never really recovered to be able to play competitive club or go to college from that point.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Now, those that are from Utah that are watching or listening to this, I'm just going to get the question out of the way, Christina. Are you in any way related to the Ainge family that we all see on TV consistently?
Very, very distantly. Not close enough where I've only met once in passing at like a Cougar Club event when I was much younger. We always say that we're the volleyball Ainges. We're not the basketball Ainges. So we grew up playing. My dad coached volleyball. My brother went to a couple colleges and played volleyball. In fact, he played volleyball 1 year at BYU. But yeah, we're the volleyball Ainges.
Not close enough to benefit financially.
No.
Right? Well, Christina, that's interesting. And I think you've provided some interesting perspective on your childhood. One of the things that I think is interesting is how early you got a job and how hard you worked getting a job, that you were managing your peers and stuff like that growing up. If I was to ask you about, you know, a formative childhood memory that you feel like kind of shaped who you are today, would it be something related to that? Or is there something else that you would maybe tell us to answer that question?
I think it would be related to that. You know, there's definitely trials everyone goes through in their life. And I can think of, you know, the middle school years, there was some harder times when my grandparents passed away and my dad was diagnosed with thyroid cancer around that time. And so I would say that those were probably all within the same year. And so that definitely was some, I don't want to put a damper on things, but I'd say those were the childhood experiences that year really turned who I was and how I, you know, I feel that I'm very much like a nurturer and a caretaker. And as my family went through those hard and difficult times, I think that that's really shaped who I am as a person, just kind of navigating a lot of that sadness and trials in all with, I think it was 15 when both of those things happened. And so it definitely was a tough year, but we're here. My dad has been fighting thyroid cancer for, if I was 15, 20 years. So, wow. And he's still here doing great. It's just thyroid cancer is a battle.
Yeah. Well, so how does that experience, do you feel like, manifest itself today?
I think it really makes me appreciative of the time that I get with my family, especially with my dad, because we've had so many years where it's like, this could be his last, as well as the relationship that I make sure that my kids have with their grandparents, because, you know, time is just so precious and you don't know how much time you're ever going to have with a person. And so I think that really shaped just really soaking up every, being present in every moment and soaking up the time that you get with family.
Interesting. Well, it sounds like you've been through some wild experiences, and we only got to 18. And I know that you mentioned before we jumped on, and I thought this was a really funny quote that you said, but you said, well, I've lived four lifetimes now that I'm 35. And so I don't know how much we can put in one podcast episode, but tell me about the time from when you graduated high school that you never went to today when you're running a team at Relic. I'd be curious, what happened between 18 and now?
Oh my gosh, that's like three lifetimes in itself. I would say, so I went to school. I did, I feel like I have attended every university in the state of Utah except for, I think, BYU. I have gone, so I did a couple semesters at Salt Lake Community College. I went all the way up to Utah State University. I did some time at the U of U. And I finally ended, I graduated from Weber State. My degree is actually in exercise science and then a nutrition education minor. But while I did all that school, I was also working multiple jobs and raising babies. So it definitely took me a lot longer to finish school than the average person. I think when I graduated, the admission counselor said I had enough credits to probably do 2.5 degrees if I was able to organize them appropriately. So most of my schooling is in marketing, but towards the end, I just really dove into that health and fitness and ended up graduating. I was going to be an athletic trainer. And then when I was almost done with that, realized that I don't like blood and goriness of being an athletic trainer. I don't like bones poking through skin and eyes falling out of sockets. So just buttoned that up and graduated. And then from there,
until you said eyes popping out of sockets, I was like, that sounds a lot like being a mother.
Yes. Yep. My formal training, in fact, I joke because I am emergency like preparedness certified, not quite EMT, but not quite exactly sure what it's called. And we joke that the reason I'm certified in that was to keep my middle son alive. Because he's had a couple of concussions. He jumps off everything. He choked a couple times as a baby. Like I've had to do baby Heimlich and CPR. And so I was trained mainly so I could care for my own kids and recognize a concussion and wrap a, you know, a sprained ankle and take care of these rowdy boys that I have.
I love it. What was it that made you go to multiple universities? Was it just trying to find the place where you felt comfortable, or what was the reason to go to several different places?
I think it was really just finding where I felt comfortable as a key. And then we moved quite a lot through the time frame. And that was before online school really kind of became prominent. I'd say this was, you know, 2014, 2015, and before that. And so definitely moved up to Logan for a little bit for my husband at the time, his job. And so then we moved back down to Salt Lake is when I went to the U. And then I moved up to Weber and really loved it there. So I finished up there. I think the age of students at Weber was where I fit in at the time because I had my three kids. I had just had my third baby. And at the U, I just didn't feel like I fit in with the youngins at the time.
Yeah. And I've had a lot of friends that have gone to Weber State, and it's people that might be just a little farther along, a little more established, and, you know, they're working. And so they need a place where they can go to school part time and then also work. And I can see why that would be a little bit better fit for a working mother.
It was a great experience. Even the internships I was able to have with the student wellness program were just so welcoming and accepting of, you know, busy schedules, which I loved.
Yeah. Well, okay. So once you graduated from college, tell us a little bit about your professional journey that's led you here.
So I immediately got a role at Young Living Essential Oils with my nutrition background and exercise science in their education department. And the training and education. And I had started out there as just a coordinator or an assistant to their director. And then eventually, as I worked, I just would be given more and adjusted, you know, grabbed the social media they needed support on. And so I jump in and figure that out. And then you know, it was about the time that influencer and ambassador programs jumped in. And so I accepted the, you know, they basically in a meeting said, who wants to manage this program? And I said, I'll take it on. And so learned how to do that really quick. And then that program moved to our PR department and brand awareness department. And so as I became part of that department, kind of learned PR, learned public relations, learned brand awareness, learned as much as I could. And then eventually when I left Young Living, jumped in kind of by myself and taking on some of that brand awareness for brands, you know, doing social media strategy, brand strategy, managing influencer programs, and did some of that as a contractor by myself before I started working at the outlets at Traverse Mountain and running their full marketing program.
Great. So what made you go from kind of doing it on your own to wanting to join a team at the outlets?
I didn't want to work 24/7. When you are your own boss, I think you think that you get some freedom, but I always felt like I was just always working day and night. For a moment I wanted to breathe and have that. I want to work 9 to 5 and walk away at 5 instead of being up until, you know, midnight, 2 a.m. working. So when you work for yourself, you kind of work 24/7 at first.
Well, and your brain never stops. That's the difference, I think, is, you know, when you're working for yourself and there's nobody beyond you that you can rely on, all the issues tend to flow upward, right? And so when you're stressing about that stuff, you're right. I've had a lot of times that I'm not working, but my brain is, and I can't mm-hmm. turn that off. I'm sure that was similar to what you felt.
Yep. And even when I thought I could by taking on the outlets, it didn't really stop. It just turned the outlets into a 24/7 thing. So that's a personal problem. That's not a location problem.
Well, what did you learn at the outlets? Because it seems like that was a pretty valuable and successful experience for you. When I say successful, it sounds like you gained a lot of really, really good experience. You had a lot of really great wins. And of course, I think that kind of prepared you for what you've been asked to do here. So tell me a little bit about that experience at the outlets.
Yeah, I loved my time. I was there for almost 3 years. And it is a small team running marketing. You'd think, you know, if you think the outlets at Traverse Mountain, you think you've got you're marketing 50 plus stores, and you've got a lot of events to plan. You'd think you'd have a large team, but there was just two of us. And so I quickly learned how to cover all aspects of marketing. You know, we had to do the TV news segments and the PR, as well as keeping the weekly newsletters. And so the main thing I learned is really time management and how to pivot what needs to be priority and take it over. And then, of course, those large events were such incredible experiences to be able to plan and organize and kind of experience. You know, each year they do that tree lighting celebration where they have the largest fresh cut Christmas tree in the city of Utah. It's like 80 feet tall, and just the logistics of organizing that large of event was just such a great experience, and just learning, you know, crowd control and all that goes into events like that. And I think, you know, your team, obviously that's how I had worked with Relic before, is that we were a client at the outlets. And so your team was a great support when it came to some of the digital ads and things outside the scope. But I also was able to learn from your team as well as when it came to diving into some of those campaigns and what works for keywords and SEO.
Great. And then ultimately, when we had a position open up, you decided to make the jump. I'm curious what made you decide, I want to go from the client side to the agency side. And then I would also love to hear, what has that experience been like compared to maybe what you expected it to be like?
Yeah, when I saw the Relic job opening, I was very excited because I loved the time. Like, I loved working with the team that I had as a client. And it really intrigued me because of my contractor work that I had done, how I'd worked with multiple brands at a time, that I felt like an agency kind of brings that fun, new, fresh aspect of you're not always working on the same client or the same project the whole time. You can kind of bounce from one to the other. And so that really intrigued me. And then when I met with Sasha and met with Ryan, I knew that this was really where I wanted to be. And then I remember on my first interview, Sasha and I talked about your podcast. and I started listening to, and I think that I probably listened to 25, maybe 30 of your episodes.
Whoa.
In that like 4 week hiring period from when I had first interviewed to where so if there's a jump in October in your analytics,
it was all Christina.
It was probably me. And I just, because I had never, the tourism industry, I'd never been a part of it and never really thought much about like what that would take to market. You know, I'd done retail for years and I had done, you know, other types of marketing, e-commerce, but I'd never really thought about tourism. So it just really intrigued me. So I listened and I learned as much as I could. And then when I got the position, was ready to fully, you know, jump in and get started. And I think that also made for a smooth transition because I feel like I knew from listening to your podcast, some of the philosophies of how the company ran and, you know, what was the vision and what were the goals and how we could help these destinations. So it made it for a pretty easy transition, I feel.
Great. And so I'm curious, maybe what are some of the biggest challenges that you've encountered since you came over?
I'd say the biggest challenge is getting clients on board with how important social media is for their marketing and for their brands, and really letting them understand the type of content that is needed that's actually going to make a difference in the way that these platforms, you know, way that the consumers view content and the way that these platforms kind of feature content. That's probably the biggest challenge, coming from years of social media experience to people that are like, well, you know, we don't really focus on our social media, where I've worked with brands where it's their top focus.
Yeah. So is it a challenge to get them to understand it, or a challenge to get them to be willing to invest in it, or both?
I would say both, but we're working through it with all of them.
Awesome. What about maybe some of the successes early, and you've had several, but early successes that you're proud of since you came over?
I've loved to watch the growth of Relic as a brand. It's been really a fun one. Even when my first week in, you tasked me with a challenge of really revamping the strategy and how we can advertise and promote Relic as a brand. And then I really appreciated the freedom to kind of be able to follow through on that strategy. And as we're seeing, you know, the numbers and the growth in website visits and the growth in visits from the social media and the growth in, you know, followers on, you know, LinkedIn newsletters, and just seeing that growth has been really fun because that was a project that I was first tasked with. And then being able to jump in, I've had a lot of fun with the Myrtle Beach projects we've had as of late. You know, starting with the Myrtle Beach Beats was the first project they kind of were handed to me and said, plan this social strategy. And then now we're planning 3 or 4 simultaneously for them.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
Yeah, you've had a lot of success on that account. And it's been fun to watch them once they recognize the quality of the strategy and tactics that you put together, start to say, we want you to handle this and this and this. And that's the sign of doing a really good job, right? Is when people continue to hand you more and more opportunities. I'm curious, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the future, Christina. And one of the questions I like to ask people on this show is, you know, let's fast forward 30 years. What does a successful career look like for you? And I think that's an interesting question, considering that you're not just a PR and content director, you're a mom, and you have a lot going on, right? And so all your goals might not necessarily be just professional, but I'm curious, if we were to fast forward 30 years, looking back, what would success look like to you?
That's a really good question. You know, I always joke and say with everyone that I just am going to can't wait until I'm just sitting on a beach somewhere and not having any responsibilities. No one needs to be cared for. Nobody. I always say in 10 years, I'm just going to live on a beach in Mexico and no one's going to find me. And in reality, like, I know the type of person I am, and that would probably be fine for like 4 hours, and then I would be bored, and then I'd be trying to market the beach to somebody. But for me, I think it's success would be doing something that I absolutely love, and a project that I'm passionate about and a cause that I'm passionate about, and really working to make a difference in the world and support a cause. And it gets me excited that we already are working towards projects like that with Myrtle Beach, you know, here out in the future, which is exactly where I want to see myself kind of aligning myself with projects that are really close to my heart and that I'm very passionate about. And so I think a career of continuing to work on those type of projects is where I would find success.
So legacy is kind of a, you know, feeling like you've made your impact on the world is going to be pretty important.
Yeah. And leading by example, you know, because I do have 4 kids and I love that they know that mom works. Sometimes I know that mom always works and I have to be a little bit better about that, but it's fun to be able to see them that they go, you know, my mom works really hard and she's accomplished this and she is, you know, they've asked me to be a part of Career Day coming up in the next week. And I thought was kind of neat because I don't know, because when the school kept, your kid said you're going to do this, your kid said you have the coolest job, your kid said that they really want you to share your job, so can you please come to Career Day? And I was like, it's just social media, it's marketing, it's not, but like to their eyes, it's really cool what we do and it's really important to them. So I think just showing them that mom works and that mom loves what she does and it's not just a job.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, a couple of final questions for you here, Christina. First of all, how important is it to you that all of your children attend the full day of school when they get into high school, knowing your past?
You know, given that my children are all home from school today because they were having some mental health days, probably not as important as it should be. I definitely get those letters. You know, my oldest son is homeschooled and I can see, you know, he gets a full day's worth of schoolwork done in about an hour and a half. And so I just think as long as they're learning and, you know, life skills are probably a little bit more important than some of those skills they're learning in school.
Yep. As long as they're not lying, right? As long as they drive to school, they're good, right?
Can't disappoint your dad. Can't do that. Yep, as long as they go or, you know, just communicate with me. Like this morning, my son just said, I just can't do it today, Mom. So we are home doing schoolwork, but he's just home.
Nice. Well, obviously, you're pretty attentive to their needs and understand when they need something. I think that's great. And I definitely wanted to make sure I was just joking about you not going to school when you were a kid, because that's the hardest part of being a parent is getting mad at your kids for stuff that you know you did. And I do that all the time.
Yep. Okay. If I tell them, I say, don't, you got to go. This is what I did. And I do regret. So not having some fun experiences. I never went to a single high school dance. There's some things that they have to do that I didn't get to do.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this is great, Christina. As I guess the last thing, I've just got a list of questions that I'd like you to ask your dad. Is that okay? And, you know, a few of them. Yeah. Who shot Kennedy, right? I want to know, you know, just some of the basic stuff that you'd ask a federal agent, you know?
I like it. Let's do it. He sent me a TikTok the other day that it's a page of, it's a girl asking her dad, you know, from a retired spy. She's like 25 questions for a retired spy on TikTok. And he just sends me these. And I'm like, is this messaging? Do you want to recreate this? What's our plan here?
I have seen this account. I really enjoy watching those videos. They're pretty good. But no, you've lived an interesting life, Christina. And it's been fun to learn about your life and learn about some of the experiences that you've had. And you've made a very quick impact here at Relic, and we're lucky to have you. So I appreciate you taking some time to help us learn a little bit more about you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. If people want to learn more about you, reach out to you, what's the best way?
Well, my email, christina@relicagency.com.
Perfect. Thanks, Christina. This is one of the many stories of the people of Relic and EKR. I hope you'll stick with us and listen to the other stories that we release on a weekly basis and get to know our whole team. We've got some amazing people here, and we hope you enjoy it.